Happy Mother's Day. The post-Easter sermon series is titled The Resurrection and the Life and is based all on John 11, which is the death and resurrection of Lazarus. We continue this week with verses 28 through 37. You may follow along on page 105 in the Red Pew Bibles or on the screen. John 11, 28 through 37. When Martha had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." But Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Yes, Christ is risen.
Our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Last week, last Sunday at the 10:30 service, 17 of our youth confirmed their faith here at Holy Ghost Lutheran Church. And what a treat it was to hear their testimonies of faith. Maybe some of you were present for that day. There was a time, what we might say back in the day, when confirmands were required to memorize their confirmation verse and then recite it in front of the whole congregation. Anybody remember those days? There we go. You guys got it light these days. Well, John 11, 35. Part of the reading from our Bible story today was a very popular verse that was chosen by kids back in the day. Why? Because the entire verse of 11:35 reads, "Jesus wept." Only two words in length, and yet this simple but profound sentence carries great gravity to it. It is the shortest Bible verse in the entire Bible, and yet it is one of the weightiest in all Scripture. Let's back up the story just a little bit. Let's review in brief. In our post-sermon series, thus far, we have heard in John 11 that Lazarus was sick, and he was sick unto death. Jesus heard about this news and didn't arrive in time to do a healing story. And by the time Jesus did get to Bethany, Lazarus had passed away. As he comes into town, he is greeted by Martha, later then by Mary. They say, "Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died." And yet Jesus says, "I'm the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though they die, yet shall they live again. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Jesus then desires to visit the tomb where Lazarus lay. On the way, there are people who are wailing in grief. Jesus becomes so emotionally charged, so caught up in the moment that he too begins to weep. And these two words, "Jesus wept," emerge as the center point of our message today. So what is the significance of Jesus weeping? What does his crying show us about what it means to be divine? What does his crying show us about what it means to be human? And what is the good news? If there is any good news in here, what is the good news about a God who cries? And what in the world does Jesus weeping have anything to do with Mother's Day? Three faith points that we have. They're written in your bulletin. If you want to follow along, please do. We'll also see them on the screen. First of all, tears build bridges. You see, this saline-flavored water that weeps from our eyes is such a personal matter that it needs some expression in private. And our crying also has a place with others because it connects. It connects people on a level where words cannot reach. When my mom died some 6.5 years ago, speaking of Mother's Day, I cried buckets in solitude. There were also times in public occasions, some of those being right here in the presence of you, where I announced my appreciation for prayers and for support, that I couldn't help but start crying at the moment. And these floodgates opened up and I bawled like a baby. Such times are kind of awkward and embarrassing. But you know, on a deeper level, they are opportunities to connect emotionally and spiritually with support and with care and with faith. In Bible times, there was a group of Jews who would go and visit the family when a person in that family died. As a matter of fact, they were designated weepers. They went to the home of the family to mourn with the family. And so in our Bible story, it sort of touches on this in verse 33. It says, when Jesus saw Mary weeping, the Jews who came with her also weeping, he, Jesus, was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. These weeping Jews were people who went to the home of someone who was grieving, sort of like maybe some of us would, in response, in love and in faith and in support, would maybe take a casserole, right? Or a card, and we'd go over to a home and we'd deliver and we'd hug. Maybe we'd share a story and also maybe even share a tear. But these people went to the homes to specifically go there to cry with the grieving family, to build this bridge of connection with tears. Hey, I think we've just come up with our next church committee, right? We're going to call it the Tear Team. But in all honesty, that's exactly what they did. Romans 12 says it like this: we rejoice with those who rejoice, and we mourn. We mourn with those who mourn. And why? Because it connects us on a level where words cannot touch. It was still in and around the time that my mother passed away that I saw my dad cry for the very second time that I've ever saw him cry. The first time was when his mom, my granny, passed away, and he cried, and I saw him, and it was a hard time. When my mom died, it was such a shock, and we were so numb that when my dad and I came together for the first time, we just came together and we hugged, we embraced, and we didn't have anything to say. We just blubbered. We sobbed. But it helped us to connect on a level that we've never hardly ever connected on. A bridge of closeness. And you know, this closeness business, I don't know if I'm getting a little softer in my post-midlife season, but it seems to me that the tears in me just well up a little more easily and readily than before. I think about times when my kids married just a couple of years ago, and you're called upon to do speeches and special prayers, and I became a basket case. Still, every time that the kids come home, when we depart company, I usually like to have a prayer over them before they hit the road. And I start the prayer, and dang it, Tammy almost always has to finish it because I can't. I don't know if I'm going through menopause or what, but it's not getting any better. But these tears are not just confined to times of mourning, but also these joyous occasions of graduation and celebration and proud moments, all building bridges. Bridges of support, bridges of love, bridges of faith, and open doors of connection. Tears build bridges where words fall short. Number two, tears offer healing. If we haven't talked about healing already, we're going to talk about it more in point number two. You see, God built us in such a way that we have this capacity to shed tears. He made us with this whole spectrum of emotions, like we were talking about with the children and many more, whereby we might cope with life and faith, the good and the bad, the happy and the sad. In our Bible story, it says that Jesus was greatly disturbed in spirit. He was deeply moved. In other words, he was all worked up on the inside. It's sort of like that 3-liter bottle of Pepsi that I got at HEB the other day. And before I got it to the car, of course, it fell down and it rolled halfway down that parking lot. And I caught up with it and got it and took it home and didn't think about it and opened it there at home. And you know what happened, don't you? Well, in the same way, Jesus wept. He let go of what he was holding on to on the inside. Tears are an opportunity for us to burst forth with release, to open the dam. And if the eyes are windows to our souls, then the moisture that comes rolling down our cheeks tell volumes of what's going on deep inside of our hearts. And most times, it tells a story. It tells a story of what we've been fighting back, what we've been holding back, and somehow, some way, the feeling then is a relief, an easing of the pain, a time to breathe. So often hard, but holy. Holy tears that have been pent up come rushing out. And you know, it doesn't all happen at one time, does it? When you're talking about grief, it's a process, not an event. It continues along the way, and sometimes it catches us in surprising and unpredictable times, like driving down the road and some months later after a loved one has passed and then seeing their favorite flower, and the tears just come out. Or in a restaurant, noticing an item that if so-and-so was there with you that he or she would order, and it just chokes you up. Or seeing your passed away child's favorite TV show. And though it can catch us off guard and feel so uneasy, most times, there is a big on the other end of it. I think it's sort of like this fella up here, the Grinch. The Grinch who stole Christmas, that as his heart grew larger, he discovered something new and good. I don't know if you remember that story or not, but tears started to flow from his eyes. And there is that famous saying, just two words. He said, "I'm leaking." A good leaking for each and every one of us from our eyes is a God-given gift. As we continue, as God leads us in mending our broken hearts, as tears offer healing. And finally, the third point for our faith today is big boys and girls do cry. I think some of us will remember that Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons in 1964. They charted the... There they are!
Big girls don't cry. Big girls don't cry. Big girls
don't cry.
They don't cry.
Good work up there. Who made you remember that song? Anybody? Oh, my goodness. Yeah, the old twist and shout business right there. Big boys, big girls, don't cry. You see, family and culture has conditioned us to believe that big boys and big girls don't cry. I recall a related subject. It was a deodorant commercial some years ago, and the tagline was like this: "Don't let them see you sweat," meaning don't show any sign of weakness. You see, early on, we are trained to not show emotions, especially tears, because they are often seen as us being vulnerable. We tell our kids, "Don't cry, don't be like a baby," as if that is supposed to be a bad thing to cry. We tell ourselves that we have to be the strong ones at a funeral. We have to be the strong ones so everybody else can, well, they can do whatever they need, but we got to be strong. We wear sunglasses to cover up our puffy eyes and tear-filled ducts. And when someone gets into a good crying session after a grief account, a death, we talk about them as breaking down. All these negative connotations associated with tears. But what if actually People are not breaking down, but they're building up. What if they're not really showing weakness, but they're showing strength on another level? What if being strong really means that we exhibit vulnerability, that we're not in control, that we need others and we need God, and that crying is a true sign of what God intends for us as humans? Jesus wept. The Son of God bawled like a baby. And if we believe that big boys and big girls don't cry, he was the biggest boy of all, wasn't he? And yet he cried. And he not only shows us what it means to be divine, he shows us what it means to be human. I think about women today. I think about mothers on this Mother's Day weekend. And we thank you as a church, women of faith, who are more easily at offering tears, more easy at sharing weeping. We thank you for the godly witness in giving the rest of us permission so that we may weep as Jesus wept. For not only does our God cry, but he also dies. He dies as he cried out from the cross, and he died on that cross. And his ultimate promise to us is this, is that those who in faith cry and die in him, he shall wipe every tear from our eyes, and there will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more pain, and no more crying. That will be in heaven. That'll be another time. So while we yet walk this earth, may we weep as Jesus wept. Amen.